Today's episode is brought to you by Forvis Mazars. Sound Cartel. From Sound Cartel, I'm Nicole Goodman, and this is Business Essentials Daily. How good are you at making big strategic decisions? A bad one could spell disaster down the track. A good decision could open the gates to new markets and untapped potential. Brian Whitefield says there's value in team decision-making. Brian's a management consultant and author of several books, including his latest, Team Think: How Teams Make Great Decisions. Chris Ashmore begins by asking Brian if the consequences of getting a big decision wrong are the direct opposite of getting the decision right.
Not really. We're funny old things, us humans. We hate downside more than we hate the loss of upside. So we don't like things to go terribly wrong. But we're okay with if it didn't go quite as good as we would have liked. And I think there's plenty of good reasons for that. You've probably heard the principle of an iceberg and 90% of it's underneath the water, you can't see it. That's often the case with loss. The decision didn't go so well. Oh, okay, so we can't perform that in this way and have that outcome. But amongst all that is the Spanish Inquisition. Who made the decision? Why did it go wrong? How could you have? Harry Hindsight comes out waving the sword, or whatever Harry has. And it just eats up people's time and energy and distracts you from the next lot of activity that will help progress you in the organization. So no, there's definitely a difference between getting a big decision right and wrong.
It's not just that one big decision, though, is it? It's all those other decisions that flow on from that. Is that right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We make thousands and thousands of little decisions a day. And so in organizations, there's gazillions of decisions going on. Now, you can't undervalue that big strategic decision, the one we're going to do this, we're not going to do that, or we're going to do this in a certain way. That's important. A lot of energy's gone into it, a lot of thinking, a lot of research, data, capture and analysis, fantastic. But from that moment on, people are making thousands and thousands of implementation decisions. So I talk about the decision value curve. And for those listening, if you can picture it, you've got the y-axis and the x-axis, and you've got what's called an inverted logarithmic curve, which means it starts high up on the y-axis, quickly comes down, and has a really long tail across the x-axis. And if you go along that axis and go, what's the area under that curve in terms of value of the decision? Those thousands and thousands of small bits of value are the same as the value of that one big decision. So without doubt, the big decision is really important, but you've got to be really cognizant of the implementation. I think plenty of people understand that when you put it just in that context, implementing strategy is often where it fails.
What are some of the mistakes businesses make with their decision-making?
I think the main one is people don't face up to the reality that we're not as good as we think at decision-making. No offense to anyone listening. I know if you're a successful business owner or successful executive, you've got there because of your good decision-making, but you've also, and I've done it, applied the old, anyone can make a mistake. But we've known for over 40 years, 50 years, from the beginnings of the research of Kahneman and Tversky, and before them, from behavioral psychology, behavioral economics, that we have biases and we're not rational. We allow things to interfere with our decision-making. And Kahneman, along with Oliver Sabony and Cass Sunstein, brought out a new book in 2020 called Noise. And what they were doing there, they were saying, look, a lot's been written, including Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow, a lot's been written about bias and our ability to anchor on the first thing anyone says, or confirmation bias, where we go out and seek evidence for what we believe. A lot of work's been done there. What they said, what this book was about, was the noise around decision-making, meaning the inconsistencies and inadequacy of decision-making. So the examples they used were, if you don't come up in front of a judge on a Monday morning if their football team lost, don't go for parole just before lunch because parole board's hungry and grumpy. And so that affects our decision-making. The same decision made a week apart, we might make differently because of the week we've had, good or bad. And in noise, they do a very good example of insurance underwriting and demonstrating the multi-millions of dollars missed out in profit by this insurance company. So we don't accept that and then put into place processes to make sure that we overcome bias and noise. Anything from making sure we're not fatigued or rushed making some decisions, having the time to think about them if that's what's required. There's a whole range of things that we can do.
What are they then, Brian? What can a company do to make better decisions?
There's two things that I really promote. The first is mapping decision processes in an organization, and the second is decision support tools. Why the first one? The first one because people, in the absence of clearly delineated how decisions are made, what data inputs, what guidelines, what stakeholder consultation, all the rest. It's amazing to me how different people's views are. So I've worked with numbers of organizations where we've done this process mapping and, you know, someone says, well, this is how we do it. And someone says, no, that's not how we do it. And then someone chimes in again. And it's all because we have our own mental models. And so doing a process map is agreeing the process, agreeing the mental model and drawing it up so we know how things are done. Now, once you've done that, you can identify blockages where decisions are being held up. You can identify where, oh, actually, those decisions at that point are inconsistent. Yeah, we have a lot of variation across our team on those decisions. You know, claims manager in an insurance company, you know, depending on who you get, you could get a yes or a no, claims denied or accepted. So it's improving those processes by providing them with decision support tools for better and faster decision making. These things don't have to be either or. By having clear tools that provide clear thinking and people able to make the decision quickly, it's a better decision because it's based on a good tool, but also made quickly because it's right there. They just have to join the dots. And decision support tools are things like risk scoring systems, decision trees, multi-criteria decision analysis where we're weighing off multiple criteria to make a decision. Get the experts to agree it and get the team to use it, and you've got faster, better decision making.
Is it a challenge to create buy-in with all team members, or does that mainly come down to value?
Yeah, so everyone needs a why, right? You know, Simon Sinek's Start With Why. If you don't have team members understanding the why of a decision, it's just not going to work as well for them. So it starts with making sure that individuals are aligned to team purpose and team purpose is aligned to organizational purpose. And assuming this person's in the right organization, that is a purpose that they align to, more broadly, if you're not-for-profit, government, or for-profit, that's the good starting point. But you also need an environment for creativity to have really good, high-value decisions because it's a complex world. So you want to create that environment. But what ultimately makes all this work is how the level of connection the team feels and has between each other. Because, as I said before, a lot of it is inferred, mental models of how things, you can't document every single bit of the process. And so by people being connected and understanding how people are thinking and reacting and working, you're in a much better place to get some really good decisions. In fact, those decisions with purpose, creativity, and connection make for compelling decisions everyone's willing to get behind. There's the buy-in, they'll deliver.
That was management consultant Brian Whitefield, author of Team Think, How Teams Make Great Decisions. This episode of Business Essentials Daily is produced by the team at Sound Cartel. Thanks for listening. I'm Nicole Goodman. We'll bring you more BE Daily tomorrow. Follow at BE Daily Podcast across social media and head to bedaily.com.au for more from the Business Essentials Daily Podcast. Sound Cartel. This episode was brought to you by Forvis Mazars. To find out more, visit forvismazars.com/au. That's forvismazars.com/au.